I'm going to set this up with you have heard the beginning of Jesus' ministry, this story, hundreds of times if you've been part of a church for any length of time. So what I want to try to get you to do today is to really listen to what's going on in this story. Okay? So you're going to get a chance to tell me what you hear. Okay? And then I'll give you the lesson. Hallelujah. All right, you ready? Here we go. It's with the fourth chapter of Luke. We're going to start with the 14th verse. And just so you know how this is set up, this is Jesus coming out of the desert. Okay, so Luke, who traditionally is kind of a historian of Jesus' life, he likes to put things on a timeline. Jesus has just spent 40 days in the desert. He'd been praying, trying to figure out what he was going to do. Whether or not he was going to do what God wanted him to do, or whether he was just going to come back to be a carpenter. And so we pick it up with his decision. Jesus returned to Galilee, powerful in spirit. News that he was back spread throughout the countryside. He taught in their meeting places to everyone's acclaim and pleasure. Remember that phrase. Everybody was giving him credit as he taught. Amen? He came to Nazareth, where he had been raised. As he always did on the Sabbath, he went to the meeting place. And when he stood up to read, he was handed a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And unrolling the scroll, he found the place where it is written. And I quote, God's Spirit is upon me. God has chosen me to preach the message of good news to the poor, sent me to announce pardon to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the burdened and the battered free, to announce this is the year that God is going to act. He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the assistant, and sat down. Every eye in the place was on him with intensity. And then he started to say, you've just heard Scripture make history. It came true just now in this place. Hello. All who were there, watching and listening, were surprised at how well he spoke. But they also said, isn't this Joseph's son, the one we've known since he was a youngster? And he answered, I suppose you're going to quote the proverb, doctor, go heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we've heard you done, what you did in Capernaum. Well, let me tell you something. No prophet is ever welcomed in their hometown. Isn't it a fact that there were many widows in Israel at the time of Elijah during that 3.5 years of drought when the famine devastated the land? But the only widow to whom Elijah was sent was Sarepta in Sidon. And there were many lepers in Israel at that time of the prophet Elisha, but the only one cleansed was Naaman, the Syrian. And then that set everyone in the meeting seething with anger. They threw him out, banishing him from the village. They took him to a mountain cliff at the edge of the village to throw him to his doom, but he gave them the slip and he was on his way. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, so tell me, what'd you just hear? I mean, we've heard this story 100 times, but I don't think we've ever really peeled the onion back. So somebody, tell me what you've heard in this story. What did Jesus just do? What did he say?
Told him the prophecies are being fulfilled.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right now.
That's pretty,
even
that's
right now
easy.
Today.
One, prophets prophecy is being fulfilled. Okay, now, first of all, folks, doesn't that strike you? I mean, really? I know that you're going to read this from the point of view that Jesus is the Messiah. But put yourself in their place, okay? They said it in the story. Wait a minute. Man, this guy is speaking really well. He's got a lot of, you know, cojones, don't he? Right? But there was some little old lady sitting there going, wait a minute. Who the hell does he think he is? He's Joseph's kid. Haven't we known him? We know what he was like as a kid. Amen? Have you ever heard that? Amen? As we get older, haven't you always felt as an adult, you go away for a while, you come back home, and you're feeling pretty good about the fact that you've been away from home, you went to college, you graduated, got your degree, you got this really good job, and you come home for Thanksgiving, and there's your mom and dad treating you like you're what? 5 years old. Right? When you start telling them all that stuff that you've learned, it's usually the father that'll sit there and go, well, that's all right, son. You know all that book knowledge, but wait till you have to live out in the real world. Amen? I heard that many a time. You know? I remember coming home from high school after driver's ed. And I was so excited because in Illinois, they have what they call the blue certificate. And when you got your blue certificate, that meant that if you had an adult that was a relative that would ride with you, you could drive. You also required, once you got your blue certificate, you could go get your driver's license. I come home with that blue certificate in hand and looked at my father and said, Dad, when are we going for my license? And my father took the blue certificate out of my hand and he said, when I say so. And I said, excuse me, I got the certificate. I passed. And my father looked at me and he says, well, that's all fine and good that you know what's in the book. It's all fine and good that they think you could drive, but they're not responsible for your life. You will drive and get your driver's license when I know that you can get in that car and handle any situation that comes along without having to think what part of the book is it in. Because when you're out on the expressway driving, he said 60, which tells you how much stuff has changed. When you're out there driving 60 miles an hour, you have not got time to think of chapter 3, paragraph 4, sentence 2. You've got to know what to do. And I was pretty torqued.
Well, how do you pick up that experience, except for by experience?
By him crawling in the car with you, which was the whole idea of the certificate. And doing what he said. Do you know, how many of you have got partners or your boyfriends or your dates? You know, and I'm sure some of you have gone through this, where you're driving somewhere, okay, and something happens in front of you, and the person that's sitting next to you in the front seat is pushing on their brake that ain't there. Amen? Amen? Okay? So, you know, there are those situations. But, yeah, that's part of it. Number one, he comes back and he says the prophecy has been fulfilled. And right away, the people sit there and go, really? Do you know how many times in my family and in the high school that I grew up with? Matter of fact, you know, on Facebook, that gives you the opportunity to kind of go back in time. And I had connected with some people from my high school. And they set up a page for people in the town you grew up in. And I was invited to join that page, and I decided that what I was going to do with that page was something that I had never done, and that was come out to my friends. I was not going to be on that page knowing that they could get to my profile and have to take all the crap that I thought I would have to take, because I took nothing but crap when I was in high school for who I was. Right? So, when I joined the page, I joined it with an introduction talking about the fact that I was a pastor, the fact that I was gay, the fact that I'd been in a same-gender relationship, blah-de-dee-blah-de-dee-blah-de-dee-blah. And then I sat back and waited. Because here it comes, right? And it was not, for the most part. For the most part, people were like, cool! Damn, have you got guts! Wow! I wish I wouldn't have treated you so badly. Now, there were those that what we're talking about today, like what Brandon asked about, you know, that were total jerks. You never were anything, and you're not anything now. You know? And it was like, wow. So, yeah, you know, when you go away and you come back, it gets kind of rough. But I'll tell you what, folks, I want you to dig deeper as to what's going on in here. Because I'll tell you what, yes, you all are right. They have a problem with the fact that he's a prophet or that he's just claimed that. But that isn't the real issue. These people, his friends, probably extended family, cousins, and all that kind of stuff, they threw him out of town. They were going to take him to a clinic. They were going to kill him. They were going to kill him. Why? What did he say that was so bad? Or that got under their skin? He starts out by saying, look, let me give you a little truth here. Nobody can come home. Because nobody's ever welcomed in their own home. It just doesn't happen. And, you know, in an esoterical sense, that's true. I mean, I remember the first time after Billy and I had been together for a while, I went back to Chicago and I went to the places where I lived and all the haunts that I used to hang out at. And do you know, it doesn't look the same. You know, I walked into my high school. Remember when you were in high school? The lockers were this high. You had to reach to get to the top shelf, right? Hell, they're only this high. And the walls and the hallways just seemed like they were really wide and filled up with kids. Nah, they're not all that wide. They're just like this, right? So it's a matter of perspective. So that's one truth that Jesus says to them is, by the way, don't give me that. You can't come back home. So all of this stuff that you're saying to me about how well you like how I speak, that doesn't hold any water. What becomes the major problem in this story?
Fear of what? This is my house. How dare you come into my house and tell me how things are?
Okay, keep going with that. Who said that?
That's what he said. You see, the rulers or the synagogue, you know, the pastors.
All right, I'm going to give you a trump. Damn. That was my outside voice. No, because I was going to say, I'm not going to give you a name. I'm going to give you a quote.
Yeah.
Is it from 2 Corinthians?
But anyway, if you want to understand what Jesus has said to these people that pissed them off, okay, here it comes. And I quote, we are going to not allow any Muslims in this country. We are going to shut it down. That was their attitude, folks. Because everybody that wasn't Jewish was an enemy. Everybody who didn't follow the Jewish way of thinking were outside of the realm of God. And when they said to him what they did, and he said, look, a prophet isn't welcome in his own home, and then he went on to say, by the way, the prophets, who did they go to? They didn't go to the Jews. They went to the outsiders. Amen? He pissed everybody off because with the very first part of his ministry, he proclaimed in a very loud way, hey, this ministry is for everybody. This ministry does not know religion. This ministry does not know gender. This ministry does not know socioeconomic status. And it pissed them off. Now, the reason I said at the beginning of this that you might find this a little uncomfortable is because I'm not going to let you get away with, oh, this is Gentle Spirit Christian Church and we do it right most of the time. You can't do that today. Today, what you have to do, because we're getting close to Lent, and for all the people that keep praying that this church is going to grow and that this church is going to continue to do God's will out in the community, you need to hear this story and hear what Jesus was saying needed to be done. So that means the next time that somebody wants to complain that somebody getting too many MARTA cards, or that somebody's been to court too many times, or had one too many drinks, or they're not doing what we think they should do, by God, we ain't cutting them off. Because they are a part of God's kingdom. We will continue to relate and work with them and love them. You know, it occurred to me that Dr. King said years ago, the only way that you can totally destroy your enemy
is to love them.
Everything that we have ever been taught about church tells us that we have to be a fair and forgiving people. And I will tell you, like I've told Brandon, and Brandon hates when I do this, because him and I will sit down in the office and we'll start talking, right? And I get on my little soapbox and start moving them on, and Brandon's great because it's like he wants to make his point, and of course I don't want to hear his point. I just want to teach, right? And occasionally I'll say something and he'll go, but. And I have to go into my illustration. Anytime you're in a conversation with somebody and you're having that argument with them and they say this, this, and this, and you go, yeah, but, you've lost the argument. Because it means you didn't acknowledge what they said. You just blew it off. And brothers and sisters, that's what we're doing today. Why do we have as many homeless as we have? And why are we not paying attention to it? Because there's a whole bunch of people out there saying, but. I want to challenge any of you to go down to Edgewood, where the bridge is, for those of you who have been with us, and distributed the packs, the hygiene kits. Go down there. Don't say anything. Just sit off to the side and watch. And you tell me, when you come back, that those people deserve that existence. That you're not going to raise a hand to help them. And if you do come back and tell me that, I will tell you to read this scripture again. Because it is not about religious perfection. It is not about making ourselves so good that God is going to hold our hand and dance and go, oh, weren't you wonderful? It is about doing the hard work of making sure that everybody knows that they can be in a relationship with God. That everybody has a right to shelter. Everybody has a right to medical care. Everybody has a right to education. And when you hear people talking about just completely cutting off whole groups of people, we've got 6 presidential candidates that have said they've signed some kind of stupid pledge that once, if they're elected president of the United States, that they are going to go after the gays and marriage. Please! And you call yourself a follower of Christ. We've got people who want the homeless swept off the street, put in a jail, and never seen again. And they're sitting in church on Sunday. I'm telling you, they need to pay attention to the story. Because Jesus did everything but what we have been taught for all of our lives. Have we not all been taught all of our lives that we had to take Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, that we had to behave correctly in order to make God happy? Have we not been taught that? I remember, you know, when I first met the vicar, oh my God, she was part of the Navigators. Hello? I don't know if you've ever heard of the Navigators, but that's all these people do. They eat, live, and breathe. The 4 spiritual laws. And what I've come to discover is they all forgot about this announcement that almost got Jesus killed before his ministry ever got started. If you want to cause a fight with somebody sometime, here's how you do it. The next time you're sitting around a group of people and they tell an ethnic joke, you look at them and go, gee, that wasn't very funny. Or the next time that they talk about how the poor are leeching off the good paying taxpayers of our country.
Butchers.
And you look at them and go, really? When's the last one you met? You know, and I had an argument with somebody this week. You know, because I used that line. I said, tell me the last time you saw somebody that was homeless. And they said, oh, just the other day, Pastor. I participate with Hosea's Soup Kitchen. Went down there and gave the person food. They didn't like the food, and they gave it back to me. And when I said, you got to eat, they threw it at me. I'll never do it again. They're just leeching off of society. And I looked at him and I said, and that's your conclusion, that they disrespected you. Well, yeah. Okay. Do you know if they have a mental health challenge? Were they maybe schizophrenic? There might have been spiders in that suit.
Do they have teeth?
Maybe there was something in that soup that they had somehow come to understand that if they ate it, they would get sick. My point here, folks, is there was a judgment made, and it wasn't the judgment that we are being taught to make.
And they were there for the recognition. They weren't there doing it for God.
Hallelujah. All right, I'm going to wrap up. I'm going to wrap up with this story. How old are you?
Eight.
All right, well, you're going to get a history lesson, okay? All right, so you pay attention to the story. There's a little girl by the name of Ruby Bridges. She was 8 years old, African-American girl, and she was the first person to integrate the schools in New Orleans. So that little black girl at 8 years old was the first one going to an all-white school. Now, you can imagine what was going on. Every day, the federal marshals had to escort her into the schoolhouse because both sides of the sidewalk would be lined with people who were screaming threats. Robert Coles, a noted Harvard psychiatrist, volunteered his time to work with young Ruby. Every day he would talk to her, trying to help her weather the crisis. On the news one night, he noticed her walking up the sidewalk and the people were screaming and throwing things. But suddenly she stopped and she said something and started backing down the sidewalk. Then one of the marshals picked her up and took her into the building. That night, Cole asked her what she had said to the marshals. And she said, I was not talking to the marshals. And the psychiatrist said, yes, you were. I saw you on the news. I saw your lips moving. You were talking to the marshals. And she says, I was not talking to the marshals. And he said, well, then what were you doing? And where were you going? And she said, I was praying for those people who were hollering at me. I had forgotten to pray. And I was trying to go back to pray for them as I walked into the school building. Cole shook his head and said, you were praying for the people who were screaming at you? She said, yes. My mama taught me that when people speak mean to you, you pray for them, just like Jesus prayed for the people who spoke mean to him. So you see, this morning, this isn't about salvation. This is about living with the Christ in your heart. Now, I will tell you one last story. You know, this young lady here, I don't know whether she knows I know, but you know, she got to her school and she's taking a little bit of grief because of who her pastor is. Now, it would be easy for us to sit there and go, how dare they pick on her? Let's do our job right. Let's praise this little girl for standing up. And number two, let's pray for those people who said the mean things. God bless you.